He wound up taking this little pamphlet on eternal progression, showing this progression from one kingdom to another, and he had to move back to Blackfoot, Idaho. And I said, well, when you go there, you better not show this to anybody or you could be called in and maybe tried for your membership. He says, why would that be? He says, he couldn't understand that. And sure enough, he made photocopies and passed it around. And pretty soon, they called him in and removed him of all his jobs and gave him 3 days to prepare to be tried for his membership. And then he calls me up, and he says, they're trying me for my membership in 3 days, and the only people that can testify on my behalf have to be good members, and you're the only one that can come and testify on my behalf. I says, well, if I go testify on your behalf, they'll excommunicate me too. He says, well, you got me into this. And I said, well, I warned you not to pass that thing around. And he says, well, he insisted, well, you got me into this. And I said, okay, well, I'll probably lose my wife and kids and everything, but oh, okay. So anyway, I went down and testified to his trial. But that's the trial itself where he had is written in my little story I wrote called Journey's End. Journey's End, the first half of it is mostly true, and dialogue of the actual trial is really close, word for word. I listened at the door with my ear to the door, so I heard everything that went on, so I was able to write about it. But they wouldn't let us in till Curtis's wife really insisted over and over that, you know, you promised he could have a witness. So they finally let me in. But anyway, I won't go through that whole thing. So anyway, Curtis and I decided a scripture that really impacted us was that scripture in the Doctrine and Covenants. It says many people do not find the truth because they know not where do not have the truth because they know not where to find it. So the early Mormons, you know, they come up with the idea that, well, here we are, we will show you where to find it, you know. But going beyond them, we thought, well, there's probably a lot of Mormons out there that want to know the truth, but they just don't know where to find it. So we decided to, now that we were excommunicated, we could speak freely and show them where to find the truth. And so the first thing we did was we decided to hold a seminar in Idaho City. Idaho Falls. Idaho Falls was a really high percentage of Mormons there. And so we rented a really nice room at the Holiday Inn. Spent quite a few of our funds that we had there, printed up a whole bunch of flyers. We passed them out all over town. We ran ads in the paper. And the day that we were holding the meeting, we decided that we thought, boy, we're going to have a whole bunch of people showing up. Because we didn't make subject threatening. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something about the mystery of godliness or something like that. But we had a couple titles we thought would be pretty interesting to people that were seeking something just a little bit beyond the regular Mormonism. So there we went through all this effort and expense, and there we were waiting, and we thought we were going to get a whole bunch of people showing up. And we waited, and nobody came. And we're just about ready to fold up and leave when a 12-year-old kid walks in. 12-year-old kid walks in, and we said to him, what made you decide to come to this? And he says, I come to call you to repentance. And Curtis and I looked at each other and we thought, this is going to be a lot harder than we thought. So, and it was. It was a lot harder than we thought. So then after that, we decided to post ads in national magazines. And we devised a really simple ad. First of all, we had a longer ad and then a shorter one. The longer ad we ran in the local stuff, like attention all LDS people looking for greater light and truth, new revelation sent for you, or something like that. And then we shortened it to just like 10 words, the shortest ad possible, and we ran it all across the country. And the funny part of it was the people that responded, almost everybody that responded were not Mormons. Everybody that wanted to know the new revelations were just average people or people out there that were in other religions, and we hardly had any Mormons at all. And around this same time period, we ran into a guy that proclaimed himself as a prophet called Onias. His real name was Bob Crossfield. He even made a movie about people that broke off from him later on. But anyway, at that time, he had been in and out of several fundamentalist organizations and didn't have any following to speak of it at that time. But he had a book out, and it was in our library, and I found that book there, and it had his revelations in, and they were kind of interesting. And I showed it to Curtis, and Curtis was really enthused. He said, let's get a hold of this guy. And he lived up in Canada. So I said, okay, we'll send him a letter. So we sent him a letter, and he was excited to hear from us. And he made a trip all the way down to see us. And he showed us these two parables he wrote that wasn't in his book that were really good. Parable that he, of the pear tree and the parable of the deceitful merchants. And we thought they were pretty good, so I thought I'd come up with this idea. I said, well, we ought to send these out to the members of the church, see what happens. And he thought that was okay too, so he was willing to put some of his funds with our funds. The big problem was, how are we going to go about getting the names of all the LDS people in the area? We wanted to send them out to everybody in Boise, Nampa, Caldwell, Mountain Home area. And I told Curtis, well, the bishops are really suspicious about giving out the membership list, but the Relief Society presidents are much more trusting. So I give Curtis an assignment to go to all the Relief Society presidents and get a copy of this. And then his brother was getting married, so he could truthfully say his brother was getting married and was wanted to see if he had any friends in a local church there to invite his wedding. So we got the names of every Mormon in the valley, and we sent them 10,000 people these revelations. And boy, we were sitting by the phone, we thought, boy, this people got to find this interesting. And the phone did ring quite a bit, but there were very angry people on the other side. They were threatening to sue us, threatening to call the postal department to try to get us in trouble. Wanted us off their list. I mean, just everybody was just angry, they called. And we only had one guy that wasn't was interested in. He was a guy named Dennis that sold fireworks all over the place, but he had dabbled into a number of things, and he was a little curious. But we had one curious person from all the 10,000 that we mailed out, and he didn't really want to be a part of us, so we really got zero application. But in the meantime, we did have a gathering of sorts that we had of interested people.